even though he took with him all his other devotees, like Sugriva and all the others, he took all of them with him when he left, but he didn't take me. He left me behind. He says, Narada, you're just being kind to me, that's all. He says, there's one nice verse I came across. O best of sages, why are you doing this to such a wretched person, devoid of the lotus feet of Sriman Ramachandra? Why do you make me cry by reminding me of how the Lord has neglected me? So there's a nice purport. Let me just read this purport, short purport. Because Lord Ramachandra appears like a human being with two hands and two legs, we would expect his lotus feet to be described by the dual form. In Sanskrit, there's singular form of a noun, like feet. In this case, it's pada, feet. One foot, or a dual form, 2 feet, or a plural, more than 2 feet. So Hanuman refers to the Lord's lotus feet not in the dual, but in the plural, more than two. He says that because Lord Ramachandra appears like a human being with two hands and two legs, we would expect his lotus feet to be described by the dual form Padambhujabhyam, instead of by the plural Padambhujai, which is the word that was used. In Sanskrit, plural forms are normally used to indicate more than two. But Hanuman here employs poetic license by using the plural form out of extreme reverence for the Lord. Then a word, hinam, is used. The word hinam means not only devoid, but intentionally rejected. In the complex transformations of ecstasy, Hanuman lovingly reproaches Lord Ramachandra for being cruel. Technically, then there's another word, naishturya. Technically, naishturya means hardness of the heart. So what is happening actually here, like in this verse, is that Hanuman is displaying certain symptoms of a more intimate relationship in love than even Prahlad. He is actually sort of reproaching the Lord and, you know, criticizing the Lord in the ecstasy of love, not in some negative way. So these little higher sentiments are creeping in. So all he says, though, to deny his good fortune is that if you think I'm fortunate, then why did the Lord leave me alone and abandon me and take everyone else? So how does that show I got the greatest mercy? It shows I got no mercy. So now Hanuman, he suggests the Pandavas. Hanuman told Narada Muni that now the Lord is living in Mathura and Dwaraka and Hastinapur, moving between these places, giving his mercy to the Pandavas. The mercy, and Hanuman says an interesting thing, the mercy which I got, he admits he got some mercy before the Lord left, not since the Lord left. He says, the mercy I got is not a pebble compared to the Mount Sumeru of mercy which the Pandavas have. So then he explains why they have so much mercy. The Lord gave them so many problems since their childhood, and in this way gave them the opportunity to show their patience, their devotion, their religiosity, their love for him. It all became magnified by going through all those experiences which he put them through. Then, not only that, but the Lord, he became their chariot driver, their companion, their advisor. He even sometimes became their night watchman. Sometimes when they would sleep, the Lord would guard them. So, very intimate relationship. He was their dear friend and their well-wisher. What would he not do for them? And he gives the example that for the Pandavas, the Lord tolerated the attack of Bhishma. And he broke his promise to not fight. So what would he not do for the Pandavas? He would do anything. His mercy upon them is so great. And now he is living with them in their city. And their city has become like a holy place of pilgrimage. Narada becomes eager to go to see the Lord, either in Mathura or Dwaraka or Hastinapur. In fact, he becomes uncontrollably eager. Narada got up, sat down, got up, sat down again, and became sort of bewildered by this ecstasy, hearing of the Lord's mercy on the Pandavas, dancing and making loud cries. Hanuman became even more blissful and said more. That all those calamities that they faced were auspicious because they forced the Lord to come more quickly. Therefore, Kunti prays, let those calamities come. Because they forced the Lord, he would come even more quickly and repeatedly again and again. Because, and now he is referring to a more intimate aspect of their higher position. Because of their special love for him, they overlooked etiquette. And sometimes they made him their messenger. And they made him their charioteer. They made him. Not just that he became. But that was because they had such a special love. So their love is so powerful. It's like a special, excellent type of herb or mantra which controls, which enchants the most powerful enchanter, who is Krishna. So Hanuman, after saying this, was dancing up and down like Narada Muni and said, let us both go. I want to see it too. But then he sat down and he said, no, it is not for me. I am just a monkey. I may become an offender. He says this. He says, I have heard Even great sages have offended Krishna while he's been present now. I heard even Lord Brahma offended him, and I am just a monkey, so I cannot go. Being a monkey, I may do the wrong thing. Monkeys are not known for social etiquette. You know, there's the famous story in Ramayana of when Hanuman was in the garden in Lanka, having just met Sita. Then the demons realized that he was there and that he was one of the enemy. So they came to capture him or kill him or something. So one big general came, and this big general was verbally chastising Hanuman and criticizing Lord Ram right to the face of Hanuman. So Hanuman couldn't tolerate this, so he urinated in the man's mouth. The man became bewildered and ran away. He'd never had a monkey urinate in his mouth before. And when Hanuman went back, somehow Lord Ram had heard of that. And of course, in general, he was very happy with Hanuman. But this thing, he said to Hanuman, you know, that man was a Kshatriya. You're meant to fight with Kshatriyas. You don't do things like that. And Hanuman said, but I'm a monkey. We do things like this. So here Hanuman thinks that the pastimes that the Lord is displaying now are so high and so esoteric that even great sages, even Lord Brahma, have become offensive and become bewildered. Then what about a monkey like me? Then he decides, no, I cannot go. I cannot go. But he says to Narada Muni, that all this talk we've been having about Krishna, it has reminded me of my Lord Ram. So now I will stay and I will wait for him. And he speaks some nice verses. It's very simple. They're very simple verses, but I found them very nice. He says, no, I want to stay here. He says, therefore, I think I shall stay here, constantly seeing him in this form and drinking the immortal nectar of his pastimes. And if the Lord may sometimes call me for some purpose, by his great mercy, he might allow me the transcendental happiness of serving him. Or, inspired by affection for me, the Lord may call me just to show me the beautiful form that I love more than my own life. I must be ready to present myself before him without delay, whenever he might call. So this is how Hanuman is feeling. He has been waiting a while. You know, in Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami hypothesizes, you could say, about when Lord Ram appeared. It was not just in this Treta Yuga. He says, some authorities say
that it is in the Treta Yuga of the 20th cycle of the four yugas. Others say it is in the Treta Yuga of the 18th cycle of the four yugas. We're now in the 28th. So that means at least 8 or maybe 10 cycles ago. So we're talking about 30 or 40 million years ago he's been waiting. Because this is now... Actually, their feet are worshipped by the spiritual masters of the Paramahansas. They're the greatest devotees. Yudhisthira's only ruling because Krishna wants him to. That's all. And they're all just remaining in their family relationships because they respect each other as such great devotees and they like each other's association as devotees. There's no question of family attachment as householders. So in that way, we come to the end of chapter 4. Hanuman is about to go and meet the Pandavas. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu? Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma, and Ram appears once in a day of Brahma. It's either the 20th or the 18th, Jiva Goswami says. Different people suggest different things. Now? We're in the 28th cycle, because Krishna has just appeared. 8 or 10, yeah. Billion. Yeah. One cycle of the four yugas is 4 million. 4,320,000 years is one cycle of the four yugas. Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. Yeah, it's 10 times that. Any other comment or question? Yes. Yes. No, Jara. The personality of old age. Well, I don't know if it's the same Jara, that same Jara, but it's that Jara who's the personality of old age. Question is that Prahlad has complained that he couldn't really be such a great devotee if he had descendants like Banasura and others who were also demons, that he would have expected them to be devotees if he was really such a great devotee. But he was able to influence his school friends to become devotees, so why couldn't he influence his descendants? Well, you know, I wouldn't say that I've come across specific references to, like, his relationship with Banasura, but our experience is sometimes that in the families of great devotees, demons appear. In Prabhupada's family, there is at least one son who's a demon. In fact, that one son of Srila Prabhupada's, which one was it? Madan Mohan. Anyway, I forget which one, but one of them, yeah, I think it's Madan Mohan Day. So he met one of our devotees once and said that my father was like Maharaj Anga. Now, if you're familiar with the fourth canto, there's one great king called Maharaj Anga. He had a son who was Vena. So Maharaj Anga was a great devotee king. But Vena, his son, was a demon. So this M.M. Day approached our devotee, met our devotee somehow, and they were talking, and said, you know, my father was like Anga, but I am like Vena. And your fathers were like Hiranyakashipus, and you are like Prahlads. So sometimes it happens like that. But the thing is, what we do have to bear in mind, see, I don't know the exact mechanics or, you know, what really went on between Prahlad and Bana. But we have to bear in mind that Prahlad is speaking in a certain way. You know, even when Lord Varaha appeared, then one son appeared. One son was born of Varaha and Bhumi, son of the Lord. That son became an associate of Banasura and became Narakasura. He became a demon. So, you know, it is not... Prahlad is saying, look, it's a disqualification. It shows I'm not a devotee. But it doesn't, necessarily. We don't know, you know, if he tried to make him a devotee or what happened or anything. I don't know. But he's just speaking very humbly. And this is, you know, this is the fundamental characteristic which is here. With all these devotees, every single one of them denies that they have mercy. What to speak of being having the most mercy? Practically that they have any mercy. And they have it all figured out logically in their minds. Is not just some sentiment. You know, it's, yeah, they actually have it figured out. They are convinced that they have no mercy. So this is, you know, this appears to be the most prominent symptom that is being, that they themselves are displaying as they're interacting with Narada. Extreme humility. And they're always seeing everything, even things which Narada is taking to be mercy, and actually it is mercy, but no, because they're so humble, they're seeing that there's no mercy. You know, like that. So, I think this is really what's going on there. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Here's the attendance sheet. Thank you. Welcome to the fifth day of our Brihad Bhagavatamrita course. We are going through chapter 5. Dear devotees, you may have noted that the different chapters, the headings are very brief, but they are important. First of all, earthly, then heavenly, then beyond material nature in the third chapter, and fourth chapter is the first one, says devotee. Yeah. So, we're coming to the level, we've come to the level of pure devotional service, basically, in chapter 4. Now, chapter 5 is titled Dear. Amongst the pure devotees, there are pure devotees on different levels. Prahlad, of course, is one. then Hanuman is higher, but on a more intimate level, where there's more real affection and more depth in terms of the personal relationship and the personal feelings and attitudes, that is there with the Pandavas more. Amongst the devotees, they are particularly dear. Their relationship is very close and not just bound by the formalities of being the servant of the master, as in the case of Hanuman, but based actually more on a mood of pure love and appreciation on that level. So this we'll see as we go through chapter 5, how the Pandavas, their relationship with Krishna is more intimate. And in fact, not always, but many times, they actually lose sight of the fact that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they think he's their friend, their well-wisher, charioteer, advisor. Just in terms of the relationship, the direct personal relationship, without necessarily the fact that he is God having any real bearing on the way they see him, the way they deal with him. So in this way, they are considered dear, as opposed to simply being devoted in a formal sense. So Narada Muni arrives dancing in Hastinapur. Every time he goes to the next place, he becomes happier. Yes, he gets more excited and ecstatic. So he arrives dancing. He's dancing as he arrives. And he races into Hastinapur. There he sees Maharaj Yudhisthira is there, surrounded by his brothers, the other four Pandavas, and they're having a big discussion. In fact, it is mentioned there in point one of your study guide on page 10. They are discussing, how are we going to get Krishna here? We are not in danger, so it is not that he would necessarily feel he has to come to deliver us. So maybe we can just fabricate some danger. Just make up a story that we're being attacked by some demons. Or maybe we'll tell him we're having some big sacrifice, because when they had the Rajasuya sacrifice, then Krishna came. He was not intending coming. In fact, there was an obstacle. That was that right at that moment when he received the invitation to the Rajasuya, the necessity to deal with Jarasandha arose. That, in fact, we'll talk a little bit more about when we move on to Dwaraka and we meet Uddhava. But the point was, in this regard at least, that they had this big sacrifice, and even though Krishna had other pressing business, he still came to Hastinapur to take part in the sacrifice. So they're thinking, let's just have another big sacrifice. What for? Anything. Just to get Krishna here. Let's just do it. So this big meeting was going on. We've got to get Krishna to come back by hook or by crook somehow. So Maharaj Yudhisthira and all the Pandavas and their relatives and friends and ministers and everyone. They saw Narada Muni come in. They all stood up to receive him. Very famous transcendentalist, saintly person. Maharaj Yudhisthira brought him in, sat him down